Hi, welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
So Jimmy, this will be the last time, well for now, that I'll ask you on this podcast, but how was your past week?
My past week has been pretty interesting. I guess I've been kind of on like this weird journey this past couple weeks, a little life change, but I don't know. My friends took me to see my first NASCAR race. So I went to a NASCAR race this past weekend.
And that Where was that?
It was here at the Circuit of America.
Oh, okay.
Thing or a track, I guess. It's not like I was new to NASCAR. I've been dabbling into it. My friend's a really big NASCAR fan. So every now and then I'll go to his place and we'll watch a race. So I'm a little familiar with some of the racers. So it's pretty cool. I really enjoyed it. I did get sunburned. I only put sunblock on my face, not thinking about my arms or my legs. So I'm burnt everywhere else but my face. But it was a lot of fun.
That's cool. No, granted, I know absolutely nothing about sports. We've established that on this podcast many times. I didn't realize that the Circuit of America track was NASCAR friendly, because I always thought, like, my poor understanding of it was that, like, the NASCAR races are, like, circular and whatever, whereas the Formula Ones are, there's more, like, turns and curves and stuff. But, again, this shows me how little I know. I might be completely wrong there.
So, yeah, I was... we didn't watch, so there's a few different series. So it's NASCAR, and then there's like three or four different sub races or sub series inside of that. So gotcha. I didn't watch the main one, which is called the Cup Series. That was on another day, but I did get to see the truck one, which I really enjoy because they're trucks. So that was a lot of fun. I will say this. I feel like some people have a stereotypical thing of what they think a NASCAR fan is. But when you're at the race, it's like I saw all different kinds of people. So if you're like nervous about going to a NASCAR race, I don't know if anyone is like thinking about it. The fans are like everyone. So, you know, don't feel excluded. It was a lot of fun. We met a lot of cool people. I was upset because when we entered, there was a funnel cake stand, and I love funnel cake. I just don't know where to get it all the time. So there was a funnel cake stand. I was like, I'm gonna come back for a piece of funnel cake or get a funnel cake. I went back and they were like, we're all out of funnel cake. I was so upset. It almost ruined the day, but you know, other than that, it was a great experience. I can't wait to go to my next race. I think we're going to go in September. There's one in Dallas-Fort Worth area we're going to drive up to. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Nice. Sounds like it will be. I'm glad you were able to enjoy it. Funnel cake is an interesting thing. I feel like it's kind of like Girl Scout cookies in the fact that like it only exists at certain times of year in certain locations. Like, you know, there's no... I wouldn't say there's no, there's probably restaurants that specialize it, but it's usually like fair food. Like you go to a country fair, you go to an amusement park or something, and oh, they give you funnel cake and that's part of the deal. But, you know, it doesn't seem like it's like, oh, I'm going to go to, you know, this restaurant and order funnel cake for dessert.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing really special about funnel cake, except that I don't see it often is, I guess, the point. I mean, I could make funnel cake on my own, but, you know, that's too much work, right?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I can make, if I had the patience, so I'm a huge cinnamon roll person. Like, that is something that is important, not important to me, but this is like, I am very opinionated about cinnamon rolls. I'm always trying to find the best cinnamon roll in America, everything like that. I could, if I put my mind to it, I could probably cook my own cinnamon roll, but I don't have that kind of patience, so.
Oh my gosh. I know this is an audio podcast, but when you said that, it made me think of a TikTok I saw. I don't know. Are you on TikTok? Are you watching TikToks?
No, I'm not that hip.
So, you know, like the Pillsbury cinnamon rolls, they come in the tube and you kind of peel it and open the tube like in the middle. This lady was like, she's like, she opened the cinnamon roll tube, but with a can opener. Cause she like cut open the top part or the side of it. And then instead of like, I know it's hard to visualize. Are you with me so far?
Yep.
So now the tube is just a cylinder with an open hole and she's like trying to pull out the cinnamon rolls. And she's like, I don't know why people keep buying this. Cause they never come out like cinnamon rolls. They're all broken apart.
Yeah, okay. She does not, like, does she just not even read the instructions? Like, the instructions clearly say how to open it.
Yeah, I don't know. I do not understand. But on another side note, those Pillsbury things used to freak me out as a kid. Like, when my dad would peel them up, they would, like, pop open. Because when you peel that little thing... Mm-hmm. The pressure, it would pop open. I was always afraid that it was gonna like explode on me, so I would never want to like peel it. And now I'm like, and now when I, as an adult, when I peel it, they don't pop open. I have to like give it the extra twist.
Same here. I don't know if they changed the, because I remember making those when I was a kid, and like, yeah, like it would just, it was like a jack in the box or something. Like you would turn it and all of a sudden just explode. And then I made some not too long ago, maybe a year ago, I was just like feeling like a kid again, so I bought some and I tried to pop it, and it was just like, I don't know if they just changed the formula or the container or something over the years, but it didn't just explode like it used to.
Yeah, you had to give it that extra little twist, right?
It's, yep,
like, yeah. I wonder if it was the fear, maybe one exploded on someone and they were like, we can't have that happen again.
Maybe.
But
I mean, a lot of things change over the years, so it's always like, I don't know, maybe they got a different formula. Like, I feel like there's some things, and it also could just be an age thing, but like, there's some cereals that don't taste the same way as I remember when I was a kid and stuff like that. So I'm always wondering if like, oh, that's, you know, maybe they changed the formula for the Pillsbury dough stuff, and that's why it doesn't pop in the same way it used to.
Possibly, but gosh, yeah, that was kind of my weekend. How was your weekend? How was your week?
Not bad. So I went, so my week was pretty mundane, regular work week. Played some video games. I've been playing Sonic Frontiers lately, which is kind of weird. Cause like, I don't think I've played a Sonic game since I was a kid. Outside of like an arcade or something, but it's a fun. It's almost, it's like semi-open world version of Sonic. I also saw John Wick 4 on Friday. I went and got a cinnamon roll because there's a bakery I like in San Francisco that only makes cinnamon rolls on the weekend. So on Saturday I went and got one, and it's probably one of my favorite in the Bay Area. I do think you need to heat it up, though. Like, don't, like, you know, ask them to heat it up for you or something. Don't just take it as is. But I think that's maybe a universal rule with cinnamon rolls. Like, cinnamon rolls always taste better heated versus, like, room temperature.
Okay, so I like... Okay. I think this is going to be a stupid question because I feel like I know the answer. Frosted or unfrosted?
Ooh. Frosted, 100%.
Okay, I was going to say frosted as well. So I like when my frosting is solid and not melty. But I like my, when the cinnamon filling on the inside to be gooey, if that makes sense. You know, like when they're heated, it's like, it's all warm, that brown sugar cinnamon filling inside of there. It's like,
yep,
gooeyness. I like that, but I want my icing to be not runny. So that's a, I'm in a conundrum of hot versus, you know what? I think I'm going to go hot regardless. Cause you know, fresh out of the oven cinnamon rolls are delicious.
Absolutely. Yeah, when they get to room temperature or whatever, then it starts losing its appeal.
Yeah, and oh man. Okay, so I don't know if you remember any great places here in Austin, because I'm a foodie, but you're like a bigger foodie than I am. You're like out there exploring. So, I used to do this with a whole bunch of friends every now and like, maybe every couple years we do this. We go out and we order desserts from a lot of different places. Like we do a road trip of Austin and we hit up all the dessert things, different restaurants and stuff. So I'm going to be doing that this coming weekend for my birthday. I'm going to go out. I'm going to take a couple friends to some restaurants that I really like, but we're not eating any food. We're just eating desserts. So do you got any recommendations?
So one of the best cinnamon rolls I've ever had was actually in Austin. And it's a place that opened relatively recently. Like it did not exist when I was living in Austin. Gosh, I'm trying to remember the name of the place, but that is easily one of the best cinnamon rolls I've ever had. Teal House. That's what it's called. It's in South Austin. I don't know. So I know it's sacrilegious to say, cause everybody loves quacks. I like their pies. I'm not really a big fan of everything else at Quacks. There was that one bakery we tried out years ago over in the east side, Sugar Mamas, but I think they closed their east side location, but their north or their south location is still open, if I'm not mistaken. And Mozart's, like, it's a coffee shop, but a lot of their like desserts, while some of them are overpriced, are actually really good. And then it's a chain, but you know, I guess it's a little different because of the fact that it's a Taiwanese chain and there's only one in Austin. But 85 Degrees Bakery, it's called the Starbucks of Taiwan, but like if you compare it to Tous Les Jours, the Korean bakery, it is like infinitely better in my mind anyway.
I get that for both of them. Yeah. Okay. What, you got any other places?
Oh, that's a good question. Upper crust is good. Oh. What else is there? It's pretty far south. It's where I used to live, but Crema Bakery, that's kind of nice. Okay. I used to do the brunch there. So yeah, there's quite a few places that are good.
I know I'm definitely... Oh, Grandma Bakery is closed forever.
Aw. Now I'm sad.
Oh, man.
That was a good place. There was also that... We've been here
before, have we?
Maybe. I think... Remember when St. Philip's Bakery used to exist?
Yeah. Oh, St. Philip's is...
It was good, but I think when they changed chefs, it like lost a lot of its appeal and it just couldn't stay open. Like, because we went there twice. Like, we went there like within a month or two of its original opening and it was good. And then we went back maybe a year later and it was not good. It was fine, but it was nowhere near as good.
Yeah, it definitely. Because it's the same. The same person who runs Uchi and Uchiko here in Austin. So I was really excited because I like both those places. And I love a brunch place. And this was a brunch place. So I was really excited for it. Then, yeah, it just didn't do. It didn't live up. It didn't withstand, I guess. It was good, though. I enjoyed it. I enjoy brunch. I wish there was a day, there should be a day every month where they're like, it's an all-day brunch day. Like, every restaurant's like, we do a brunch menu all day. Because then I could just explore it all the time. I like a brunch, but I don't like waking up early. I think that's my problem.
Very true. And I mean, I guess early is relative. I do like to sleep in on Sundays. But, like, I sleep in a weird way because I have a dog, so I'm... responsible for making sure she goes potty in the morning and stuff. So I'll wake up at like 7, take her for a walk, then come back home and then just go back to bed or whatever. I don't know. So I feel like brunch is a little weird because it's, you know, it's called brunch. So it's supposed to be like between breakfast and lunch, but like you can have brunch at 3 p.m. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong. And I guess it's like one brunch item that I really enjoy a lot that you don't see on an everyday menu, which is an Eggs Benedict. I love an Eggs Benedict, and I wish it was all day long. Like, there needs to be a restaurant that's just like, we do it all day long, and I'll be there all the time.
Fair point. I'd probably do. I mean, there are like Kirby Lane and stuff. There are like all day breakfast places, but yeah.
Kirby Lane gets me because then they have like 4 variations of an Egg Benedict. And I'm like, I want to try them all. But that's a lot. 4 Eggs Benedict is too much for me at the end of the day.
Fair. But yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in Austin. Austin is a really good place. I feel like there used to be a bakery on Rainy Street, but maybe that's not there anymore. So I know there was a brunch place. There were a few brunch places. The one in particular I always went to, I forget what it was called, but it was like bratwurst themed. And they had a decent brunch on the weekends. But yeah, Rainy Street used to have like a pretty decent like dessert place, but I can't for the life of me remember what was there. Bangers was the breakfast place. Well, not exclusively breakfast, but they did have a brunch menu, which, you know, speaking of Rainy Street, King of the Hill, what is it? Yes. 123 Rainy Street. Yeah, this is our last episode for now, because King of the Hill is coming back, and we would definitely love to pick up again when it comes back and review the episodes as they're new, which will be very fun because, like, with this podcast, we're reviewing episodes that are, you know, in some cases over 20 years old. But here, you know, we're talking about a show that's been off the air for about 13, 14 years now. So, you know, it'd be fun to review new episodes every week as they come out. I can't find anything that tells us what the actual, like when it's going to launch. Like, if I were a betting man, I'd say the new series should probably be starting in like early 2024, but that's just my bet, just based on, I think it's going to take them time to like write episodes and record voices and all that stuff. But anyways, this is a long way of me saying this is our last episode of the podcast for a while until they come back. And, you know, we just kind of wanted to take time to reflect a little bit on the episodes, on the show, some of our favorite episodes, maybe even some that we didn't get to mention. And then, you know, thank you all for listening and being in on our little experiment, if you will. One thing I want to talk about, because we always talk about how this is my favorite episode and that's my favorite episode and I love this episode and stuff. Would it be funny to talk about like the episodes that we actually don't like?
Oh, I know what you're going to say for sure. Is it going to be Pygmalion or whatever it's called?
Pygmalion is definitely one of the episodes that I absolutely hate, largely because it is a very different tone for a King of the Hill episode. Like, it almost feels like it belongs in a completely different show. For those who aren't familiar, it's an episode where Luann winds up getting in a relationship with a wealthy business owner, the owner of, Larson's Pork Products. And it turns out that he is a bit crazy. And he's actually trying to, like, recreate the family that is, you know, that appears on the branding of their pork products and stuff. And he winds up like, spoiling a 20-year-old episode. He winds up dying at the end, like in the pig slaughtering area. And so the episode just does not feel like a regular King of the Hill episode at all.
Yeah, it's a Yeah, it takes that weird turn, and it's just because he dies at the end. Just not. It doesn't feel fun. Like we've had Luann get kidnapped by a cult before with the was it the Jane and Jane?
Yeah.
Episode, and that was kind of like that was fun. It was okay. This one, not that she's being kidnapped by a cult, but she's kind of lured into a marriage, and it just doesn't. It doesn't feel as lighthearted as that, like other episodes.
Yep. How about you? Since I just went with one, do you have one that you're, you know, you don't even have to say that you absolutely hate it, but it's just, you don't, you're not fond of it.
I guess it's the, I mean, I watch it. Sometimes I'm into it. Sometimes I'm not, but mostly I'm not. It's the one where, is it Hank's cousin, the ZZ Top?
Yes.
I mean, it's okay with Khan's car and all that, but I don't know. It just doesn't get me as other episodes. I kind of sit through it, but I might just skip it sometimes.
Yeah, there's a lot of episodes that I'm indifferent to. Like if they're on, like if I'm watching TV and it happens to be on or something like that, or you know, when you're sitting around and you're watching a bunch of episodes and it goes to autoplay, that like I'm like, eh, I'm not super happy about it, but I also don't hate it. You know, like Church Hopping comes to mind as one of those. The Patriot Act are episodes that I'm indifferent towards. But then yeah, there are ones that I absolutely like. I just think they're terrible. Mrs. Wakefield is another one that I do not like. That's the one where, so like this old lady named Miss Wakefield comes and she grew up in the Hill House like years and years and years ago. And it's a Christmas episode too, which makes it even weirder. And like her final wish is for Hank to allow her to die in the house. And Hank obviously won't let her because that's a very weird request. And then like the entire episode, it's pretty much her like trying to sneak into the house or whatever so that she can die. And the weird thing to me is like at the end of the episode when like they're trying to kick her out of the house or whatever, and it's in the middle of their holiday party, everybody is like treating Hank like he's the bad guy because he won't let her die in his house. And I'm like, what would you do in that situation? Like, would you just let somebody just die in your living room?
That episode's weird because at the end, everyone's like, Hank, just, you know, let her be. Just let her die in your living room. But as she's sitting there, because, you know, I don't think you could will yourself. Like, you may be elderly, but you can't just be like, I'm dying now and then die. She's got to wait or something's going to happen. And everyone's just like, it's super awkward. Mm-hmm. That's a really weird episode.
Yep. That one is weird.
I say that I don't like these episodes or I'm indifferent on them, but I don't know. Maybe when I'm watching, sometimes when you're back on it, it's different, but, it's Uh-Oh, Canada. I really, that one's like where, the Canadians, house swap with Boomhauer.
Yep.
And then they just get in a fight. I don't know. Sometimes I don't like it when Hank gets in a fight with like rando neighbors. Cause it's just kind of like, I don't know. It just feels that they do that a few times too many for me.
Yeah, I agree. That one was a very weird episode. One more. Cause I don't want to hit on, I don't want to hate on King of the Hill. The other one I do not care for is Hank's Bully. And this one is like, they get a new neighbor, family, and they're like, they're kind of like free range parents, I guess. They're the stereotypical, like the kids misbehaving, but they're like, oh, Kyle just likes to express himself and he's so creative and stuff. And this kid, Kyle, is like harassing Hank the whole time. So like he's throwing stuff at Hank and he puts a water hose through the mail slot in Hank's house and turns the water on and digs his bike into Hank's lawn and stuff, and he's completely disrespectful to Hank, but the family won't, like his parents won't discipline him because they're like, oh, Kyle's just so creative and we don't like to stifle his creativity and stuff. I just, the episode, I don't know if it's just, if it's like the episode itself that irritates me or just like that kid irritates me, but it is, it's one of the episodes that I just don't like.
I think that, well, that comes down again, like where it's Hank versus a neighbor or something, like different parenting styles, or they're just so different kind of thing. Yeah, that kid is super annoying in that episode, though, so I don't blame you for not liking him.
Yeah, he is not a good kid at all, and I guess those parents kind of exist out there, but it irritates me that they do. Like, that there's a parent, like, that can harass a neighbor or whatever, and then you're just like, oh, he's being creative, like, I don't know if it's just like he made up an annoying song or something, then fine, which is what he does in the episode. But like, how is like low-key vandalism just him being creative, like putting a water hose into their living room and turning on the water like that? Like, that's just terrible. And also, I just hate how they resolve the episode, because Hank essentially gets Bobby to behave like Kyle does to the parents, and then when the parents are like, oh, we don't like, tell your kid to stop, it's like, oh, you know, he likes to express himself and he likes to have a good time, and that's what finally got them.
Okay, so switching subjects, we talked about episodes that we didn't, not necessarily hated, but just don't like as much as we like the other ones. What are some, I know we've done like, what, 50 episodes? Maybe a little over 50? No, we did
50. Like 54 if you count two-parters, yeah.
The two-parters, yeah, throw me off. What are some episodes you wish that we would have covered?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I guess some honorable mentions.
Yeah, I need to think for a second. What are some for you?
Okay, some I don't remember the names exactly, but one is Gone with the Windstorm.
Yes.
And it's because, as much as I love the A storyline, which is they get a weather machine at the news station, and Nancy's basically lost her job to a real meteorologist. And she's kind of in this hurry to get her job back, and Peggy and Dale are helping her. But I really love the B storyline, where there's a kid at school that keeps popping out of like corners or lockers and keeps scaring Bobby, and they just don't know what to do about like how to handle this kid. And I love an episode of King of the Hill where I love the A storyline as much as I love the B storyline.
Yes, that was a good one. That kid, because like, oh, he somehow squeezed into my locker and scared me or whatever. Yeah, that was a good one. Megalo Dale is one I wish we would have done. Granted, you know, we could always do the podcast again. Who knows? But Megalo Dale was a good one, largely because this is like, to me, it's weird because Dale is such a huge conspiracy theorist, and almost all the time, his conspiracy theories are wrong. Like 99.99999% of the time. This is an episode where one of his conspiracy theories are actually right. But in order to protect the person involved, he pretends like he was wrong about the conspiracy theory. So the idea is that like the Megalomart is having problems with pests, and the manager of Megalomart asks Hank if he knows any good exterminators. And at first, Hank is hesitant to recommend Dale because, you know, he thinks Dale is not that great, and you know, he didn't want to like ruin his reputation by recommending a nutty person, but he eventually does. And then Dale begins to believe that, well, no, they're not. It's not a rat problem at all. It is a human problem. And he believes that it's actually Chuck Mangione who is like chewing through cables and stuff. And obviously it sounds ridiculous, but then it turns out that it absolutely was Chuck Mangione. Like, because he has to do, like, he says he's, like, required by contract to do, like, 250 appearances a year or something. So instead, he just, like, in the areas between the aisles and stuff, he kind of created a fort, and he just lives in the Megalomart.
I would be surprised if most of those appearances are in Arlen. He's like at every Arlen small function.
Yeah. So this is one of the times where Dale is actually right. He learns that he talks to Chuck, but then like in order to protect Chuck's secret, he's just like, oh no, it's just Muzak.
Oh man. Yeah, that is a good one. I don't think I've seen it in a while, but I definitely remember him finding Chuck Mangione in between the aisles.
You have any other favorites?
Yeah, I have two more actually. One, they're both Bobby centric. So one is Now Who's the Dummy? And it's the one where Bobby gets the ventriloquist dummy. Chip, I believe his name's Chip Blockhead or something like
that. Yeah, something like that.
But Chip is like really into sports and just an athletic kind of person. So Bobby starts getting into like, because he wants to honor Chip because he got the dummy from another ventriloquist. So he wants to honor it by keeping up the spirit of Chip. So he learns facts about sports and things like that. And Hank becomes really attached to Chip that he totally forgets that Chip is just Bobby. And he thinks that Chip is his own person. And oh gosh, I can't remember. I feel like Peggy is doing something. I just can't remember. But I know Dale is definitely afraid of dummies, ventriloquist dummies. So at the end of the episode, he throws Chip into a wood chipper. And then Hank ends up making another chip, but then realizes that he really cares about Bobby. So instead of making a chip dummy, he makes a ventriloquist dummy that looks like Bobby. And I love the end of the episode because Hank's like, do you want to watch whatever games on TV? And then Bobby's like, no, let's watch Iron Chef. And then the dummy Bobby's like, Iron Chef. He's like, 2-1. I guess we're watching Iron Chef. So I really love that episode. I can watch that all the time.
That one is a good one, too. I'm trying to think which other ones. To Spank with Love, I think, was like one of the first King of the Hill episodes I ever saw. Or at least it's one of the first ones I actively remember seeing. And that one is pretty fond to me. So Peggy gets in trouble because she's substituting. And like she is being bullied by her kids and stuff. And at one point, Dooley pantses her in the middle of class. And so she pulls up her pants and immediately starts spanking Dooley. And what's funny is that Dooley's parents are fine with it. They're like, yeah, we know he's a big, he's a handful to deal with. And if anything, we should be apologizing to you. But because of protocol and everything, Principal Moss winds up firing her anyway. And then Cotton gets into this whole, this whole deal where he's like, oh, spanking is not, kind of the old-fashioned mindset. Spanking's not a problem. You shouldn't be in trouble for spanking. And they do this whole campaign to get her back into school, and she gets reinstated. But then now she's taking on this persona as Paddling Peggy. And it's a fun episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one, too. Because I remember her having the paddle and walking around with it. So,
yeah.
That's a good one too. I think one last one that I really like is a portrait of the artist as a young clown. And that's the one where Bobby goes to clowning school at the college. And it's a episode all the way through. But what I really love is, so Bobby ends up going to clowning school. So he won't bother Hank or anyone else during the day. So he can just focus all his clowning energy in this college crew. But his professor is like one of those, he takes everything too seriously. So he teaches Bobby the art of like a French clown or like a European clown. I don't know if they're different, but it's like more Cirque du Soleil kind of a clown. And Bobby's going to perform as middle school talent show as this kind of European clown, and no one's going to get it. But then Hank runs up there with Bobby's old props and stuff, and they make fart jokes. And I really like that at the end, that like Hank really does, even though it's something he doesn't agree with, he really has like the best, he doesn't want Bobby to like fail. So I really like
Yeah, he knew that, like, even though Hank does not appreciate comedy, he knew that what Bobby was doing wasn't funny and was weird and wanted to protect him by, yeah, getting him the right, the thing that he actually would actually help him. So like, hey, here's your whoopee cushion and stuff. Yeah. So I don't know, like, I guess going over our episodes, the honorable mentions, the ones we hated, like, what, stepping back from the episodes, like, what are some of the best, like, moments to you of King of the Hill? Like, that really makes it stand out versus any other TV show.
I would say for me, it's the like, I think it's the humor, but it's not like, it never goes into like lowbrow humor. It always feels like it's real to me. Like if I was out with my friends or, you know, I could like, no matter kind of who your dad is, you could still feel like a little Hank in that, and your parents. Like Hank is just the everyday dad who's like, I'm just trying to get through everything. And I'm just like, he loves what he loves. And he kind of doesn't understand his kid and they're a different generation. And then he's a different generation from his dad. And then everything just feels like it's funny, but not in like a crude way. Because sometimes like when you watch The Simpsons or Family Guy or other shows like that, the jokes can get crude. But here it's just like, everything feels so wholesome, and it's just like, I can relax watching it. I don't know. Not that I'm uptight. It's just, everything just feels like everyday humor to me. Nothing's trying too hard.
Yeah, it does. I agree, because as an episode, or not as an episode, but as a TV show, all the episodes are really more slice of life. Like most adult cartoons, and I would categorize King of the Hill as an adult cartoon. It's not, you know, a 6-year-old could watch it, but it's not Dora the Explorer or whatever kids are watching these days. But unlike other adult cartoons, like say The Simpsons, Family Guy or whatever, like it does seem to be more grounded in reality. And it is definitely more grounded in reality. There's no, it seems to be. It's really more, it's like almost a sitcom just happens to be animated. And so everything's pretty grounded and realistic. But then also, yeah, like you mentioned, like you can actually see people you know in those characters. And it just, as a Texan, it also just feels super real because you know people like this. Granted, growing up in a big city in Texas, yeah, I probably am not as inclined as some other people are to this experience, but definitely.
Yes, like as a Texan, even though I am from Austin and sometimes I make fun of Austin, definitely when they're like Dallas, I'm like, yeah, I get it. When they make fun of Dallas and when they do make fun of Austin, I'm like, yeah, I can see it too. So it's fun because I'm from here and just, you know, kind of seeing the small townness and the localness of everything. And then, you know, how everyone is into football. It's very true. Down here in Texas, like, people are really into football.
Yeah, they are. You know, other states definitely have football and stuff. But I would argue that nobody is as into football as Texans are. High school football, professional football, college football, it is a huge deal here. That, and then also like the love of his lawn and stuff like that. That is like super Texan.
Oh yeah, yeah, like all this stuff. It just, maybe that's another reason I really love it. It just, everything hits at home, and it's, except for them driving to different cities. That's like total, I wish that was realistic to my life. Whenever I try to drive anywhere, it's like hours and hours.
Yeah, I mean, like, realistically, when they talk about being able to drive, like, granted, I think part of the benefit is that Arlen is kind of like Springfield in Simpsons, and the fact that we don't know exactly where it's located. Arlen, we don't ever really know exactly where it's located. So theoretically, it could be right on the Texas border or whatever. But yeah, it is kind of, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? There are episodes where it's like, there's no way they can get to Mexico and back in a day.
Yeah. Yeah, it always feels like a day trip for them when they go to Mexico.
Well, yeah.
But, oh gosh, yeah, I don't know where they would be. They would have to be really close to the border.
Yeah, because, like, even from Austin, you're looking at a five-hour drive one way, and that's being super generous to get to the Mexico border. And, you know, there's that one episode where they take a field trip to Mexico, and as far as we could tell, they're only there for one day, and they come back, and it's like, that wouldn't happen. You know, you got to, I know, it's a cartoon, you got to suspend disbelief, but still. But yeah, it's also just the wholesomeness of it. I do love the relationship of Bobby and Hank. You know, because I think there are many relationships like that between father and son where they're very different. And Hank's like trying his best to relate to Bobby, but also trying to like make Bobby like him. But then you also look at Hank and like his dad. And, like, how his relationship with Cotton is, like, Cotton also was upset that Hank didn't become the way he was. So I think that's why Hank's a little easier on Bobby, so to speak. Because we see some of the flashbacks where Cotton is like, oh, you would have already been killed if you were in the army or whatever or stuff like that. And, you know, really, really just belittling Hank, even when he's, like, a little kid. And so I think Hank doesn't want to be like his dad. But at the same time, he wants to, like, help Bobby. Like, I think it's because Hank is stuck in his ways a bit. And he thinks, like, oh, this is how kids are popular and stuff. Because, you know, if you're on a sport and a team, that sets you up for life, for success, and all that jazz. And so he thinks that, but he does want to help Bobby. And, you know, he does try to understand him. And there have been a few episodes where he's actually encouraged him in his endeavors.
Yeah, the relationship and how strong the Hill House family unit is, and I love when, and I know we talked about this before with like them helping out Luann and like them letting Luann go out on her own. It's very like they've because we've met Luann's dad, and you know I love how they've taken her in. And she's basically one of them. I know, like, she is family, technically, yes. But, like, the way she might as well be, like, their daughter, Bobby's older sister, in the sense of how, like, you know, they bring her in when she needs to be in or when they're helping her. And then when she needs to kind of go out on her own, they let her go. But, you know, but they're still watching. So the Hill unit is so strong, which I really love.
I agree. They have such a strong relationship. One other thing I like is Peggy. Peggy, I think, is written to be hated. But, you know, I kind of understand it. There's actually, I've probably mentioned it before, there has been a fan theory that she suffered brain damage in the episode where they parachute and her parachute doesn't open and she hits the ground. So the fan theory is, like, people notice that in the episodes beforehand, Peggy's a little cocky, but not in an annoying way. And then after that episode, she gradually becomes more annoying. So one of the fan theories is that she suffered brain damage from the fall, and it changed her personality. It could also just be that they decided to change her up as a character and whatever, where she's, like, she is super confident and arrogant and narcissistic. But then there's an episode where you meet her mom, who is like never, never happy with anything she does. So you start to think like, oh, maybe it's because of how she was raised. So a lot of times narcissism is a side effect of having low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's room for that argument, but you know, Peggy's is meant to be hated. But you know, she's also a source of entertainment on the show.
I really love Peggy. She's definitely in my top three favorite characters. It's like Bobby, Peggy, and then rotating someone. Because, you know, everyone comes in and out. To have Peggy's confidence, to walk through the world with Peggy's confidence, It's something I strive for. The way Peggy goes through classroom and just starts speaking horrible Spanish so confidently is what I want to do when I walk into rooms. Not speak horrible Spanish, but like have that confidence of like, I'm the best.
And here's a question. You just triggered a question for me. What to you is the greatest moment in King of the Hill? I already have mine if you want me to do it and to give you time to think.
Yeah, you go first. Let me think.
So almost, I don't know it verbatim, but there's an episode where Peggy accidentally does foot fetish videos. So the episode starts where she's like super self-conscious about her feet size because she has really, really big feet for a woman, like for anybody, but definitely for a woman. And she's super self-conscious about it because she feels less ladylike and all that stuff. And somehow she accidentally goes to the studio and she believes she's making educational videos. She learns that they're actual foot fetish videos. When she realizes that, oh, her feet are ugly and people are watching the foot fetish videos because they're turned on by how disgusting they are. Like, it really sends her into a depression. So my favorite part is when Bobby gives her a pep talk. To me, this is like one of the best moments in the entire King of the Hill thing.
It's such a great moment. I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, because Peggy's depressed and stuff. And then Bobby goes in to check on her. And then Bobby was like, you know, I'm fat. Yeah, it's like, yeah, I know what it's like to be different. I'm fat. And Peggy's like, oh, no, you're not. He's like, Mom, I'm fat. And that's okay. Because I'm also funny and nice. Yeah, there's some people who want to make me feel bad about it, but that's all right. And I have a girlfriend too, who, by the way, I'm going to go spray with my super soaker. What are you going to do? And like, yeah, that was like one of the best moments in the show in my mind.
Oh, man. That's really good. This is tough. Now I can't because I feel like nothing lives up to that.
I mean, there's a few other good ones out there. I'm sure that you can find something. It doesn't have to be the exact same.
Well, I know a moment that I really like a lot. It's the episode where Peggy gets duped into like getting that college degree or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then my favorite part is the very end of the episode where Peggy does like the Ocean's 11 side hustle mm-hmm. thing, where she was like, it's a con within a con within a con. And I knew everyone's move. And she goes back and it like replays all of the like all her moves that she's been like secretly doing. I really yeah, that was a really good one for me. Like, I really like that scene.
Mm-hmm. That one was a good one, seeing Peggy out with Jeff Goldblum's character. But yeah, with that, let's just wrap up with some of our predictions or what we would like to see in the future series, and then we will bid you all adieu. But yeah, so what would you like to see in the, now that we know for a fact, like we're not speculating that, oh, if they did bring back King of the Hill, what would you like to see? Like, now that we actually know for a fact that Hulu is ordering episodes, like, what do you hope they do with King of the Hill?
Okay, I know exactly what I don't want, and I think we talked about this last time, or the time before. But yeah, I definitely don't want Luann and Lucky to be in the show. I don't want them to be killed off either. I kind of hope that they just moved somewhere or they're living somewhere else, or maybe they're on vacation this whole time. Just because, you know, I think we don't need to replace the characters voice actor wise. We can just like let them kind of be on their own. And as much as they were a part of the show, I feel like we can have some story, like they weren't involved in every story, so it wouldn't hurt it that much.
I agree. I think she moved away. Lucky Luann moved away because Brittany Murphy was Luann. She voiced Luann for 13 years. I don't think it would be good to just replace her just because Brittany Murphy is dead. You know, it's like we should respect the characters and just write them out of the show instead of trying to get different voice actors. But like write them out in a dignified way to like show appreciation for Tom Petty and Brittany Murphy.
Okay. So here's what I'm like, are we trying to wrap this up like King of the Hill wise, or is this maybe a jumping point off? Because if we're trying to like wrap it up again, I would really love if Khan's mom moved back and Bill got together with her again.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. That was one of the things that always bothered me, was the fact that they were so well together and then we never see them together again. And it's never explained why. Like, they never just casually say, oh, we're taking a break, or oh, we broke up, or anything like that. It's just straight up like, yeah, it's annoying. That's just they never do that. So I do hope we bring that back. I've been thinking about it more. I actually don't want a time skip. That's the benefit with cartoons, is that characters don't have to age. They're not, granted, you know, voice actors might get older and their voices change and stuff, but the characters themselves don't have to age. They're not limited. Like, it's not like a live action TV series where it's off of the air for 10 years and all the actors have aged 10 years. So now when you try to bring it back, you have to kind of account for that. Otherwise, it's though, what was that movie that did that? Like, 20 years later, they brought everybody back, but they were still playing teenagers, even though they were all in their... Wet Hot American Summer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because it was like Netflix made like a continuation of it, and they got all the actors back, even though the actors are like in their 40s now, 40s and 50s, but they were still playing like teenagers in the show. But yeah, like I you know, with a cartoon, they could do that. And I... like, if they made a spinoff to King of the Hill where they were all adults, that would be fine. Or not all adults, but like 15 years older, then I might be all right with that. I just feel like it would be a different show. It wouldn't be King of the Hill if Bobby was 28 years old instead of 13.
Now that you're saying all this, I'm definitely agreeing. I don't even want them to time jump to like high school. Because the thing I love about Bobby and all that is just like his carefreeness and just him being able to be himself. I feel like, not that you can't be yourself in high school, but I feel like once you hit high school, it's like you're figuring more things out. And I just want Bobby to have, can we just have fun Bobby for a little bit longer? If anything, maybe the last episode is a time jump to the future where Bobby's an adult.
Yeah, like that, or if there's like a special episode where it shows the future or something, you know, whatever. But I don't know. It would feel like a completely different show if Bobby were an adult, Connie were an adult, Joseph were an adult, and the Hills, you know, Hank and Peggy were now like pushing 60 and getting closer. It would be a different show altogether.
Yeah, it would be. And I, for some reason, it feels like adult Bobby, adult Connie, adult Joseph just feels like a different vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's going to lose what we like. And you know, I understand of wanting to change it up and to like make it more modern and things like that. But what people really love about King of the Hill is just how down to earth and how simple it was.
Exactly. And we got to love the characters. It'd be like if Simpsons went off the air and then all of a sudden they brought it back. And then like the new version of Simpsons had Bart as a 25-year-old. Like, it wouldn't be as fun anymore.
Yeah. Man, I'm excited for it. I know it's not going to be out for a while.
Yeah, I mean, there hasn't been much talk about it since the initial announcement, which might be for the better. But man, I can't wait to hear more, and like get. I at least want to hear a confirmation about what's happening.
Yeah, man. Oh, maybe we'll get something at Comic-Con this summer.
Maybe. Let's hope so. I mean, I doubt it will be in, like, what is it, Hall H or whatever, but hopefully it's announced somewhere. That would actually be the place to do it if they wanted to do it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think, well, yeah, it doesn't have to be a big thing. And I mean, like, I don't know. I've been to Hall H a few times, and some panels they have are really boring. No offense. I will not name panels, but some panels are boring. We could throw in a King of the Hill one. I feel like everyone would enjoy that.
Indeed. Indeed. But yeah. I think that's all we have on this one. I mean, this is a great show. We only did 54 episodes when you include the two-parters. There are over 200 episodes. I encourage everybody to watch them all. Even the ones we said we hated. You know, at least give them a watch. Make your own decisions. But yeah, this is one of the great shows. This is one of the great podcasts. It's hard to believe we've been recording it for a year. It's hard to believe that we're coming to an end. We will probably pick, we will almost certainly pick up the podcast again when the new episodes air, but probably won't be for, you know, another 8, 9, 10 months. So, you know, we'll catch up with you then, but until then, you know, y'all come back now, you hear? And as always, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.